Hey, this is Kevin Weatherby of Save the Cowboy. I want you to toe that stirrup, throw a leg over the cantle, take a deep seat, and pull your hat down tight. I ain't gonna tolerate no whining or griping, so let's all strike a long trot down that narrow trail and learn how to ride with God. Come on! What you waiting on? Let's go.
God, I just pray that others can grow in the grace and knowledge of yours and come to have a deep, deep relationship in your kingdom. God, guide this message today as we give a clinic on how to live in the kingdom of God straight from Jesus' mouth. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, let's get started. So last week I told you about the kingdom of God, right? And I asked the question, if you could name one thing that Jesus himself preached about more than any other subject, what would it be? Well, you already know the answer. The kingdom of God. And when we talk about just parables, not teaching, and we'll talk about parables in a minute, but in just the parables that Jesus told, one out of every three was on the kingdom of God. 30% of all of Jesus's parables were about the kingdom of God. So what is the kingdom of God? If you missed last week, you know, just, it's a $200 fine, but I'll go ahead and, you know, fill you in. But that's what the $200 fine is, you know, rehashing. It goes to a good cause. It's tax deductible. So last week I told you that the image of God is a spiritual and a physical place, right? And I told you that the kingdom of God is kind of like a beautiful picture of the art, like the most prettiest picture of heaven you can ever imagine, right? And then you lay a piece of paper down on it and you try to trace it with a, you know, big old fat big chief tablet and a big old fat pencil. Well, you could get close, you could tell what it was, but it's nowhere near close to the original. That's what the kingdom of God is like down here. It's an echo of what's in heaven. Remember the Lord's Prayer? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come so that your will be done down here just as it is in heaven. So God is trying to bring his kingdom onto this earth. Now, he did it backwards. If you think about it, what happens whenever you build a new kingdom or retake a kingdom? You go take the land first, right? And then you subjugate everybody. Well, Jesus is doing it the other way. He's not worried about the land. He's worried about the people. And we talked last week of why does he want us to live like Christ tells us to live, of loving others and not being worried or anxious about anything, to trust him in times of tribulation, to be kind to others, not nice. Nice is a lie. It's either kind or it's not, right? And so what happens is, I mentioned it like a tuning fork, right? If you have two tuning forks, you strike one and it rings, you can aim it at the other one, and if the other one's set to the same resonance, it will start vibrating without doing anything to it. When we live in the kingdom of God down here as citizens, even though the kingdom hasn't got here yet, God is basically doing a coup. He's trying to get the people first. And we will talk about a dragnet parable and some others where Jesus goes into details about that. But the reason Jesus says for us to live like he says live is all of those things that Jesus tells you to do in the Bible, that's all that will be allowed in heaven. If you don't get used to the ways of heaven now, you're going to be really befuddled when you get up there. Maybe not because I don't know that you get befuddled, but you will have realized how much time you wasted doing things that offer zero benefit to you. Jesus said, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust cannot destroy. So that's what the kingdom of God is like. It's like an echo on earth as it is in heaven. Maybe you like it as a tracing that will be filled in by God soon. We'll get into more of that. So, turn with me to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. There's lots of kingdom parables in Matthew chapter 13. And the very first one we're going to start with is the first one in the chapter. And it's in Matthew 13, verses 3 through 9. And these are kingdom parables, okay? He said, "Listen, a farmer went out to plant some seeds. As he scattered them across his field, some seeds fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate them. Other seeds fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seeds sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow, but the plants soon wilted under the hot sun, and since they didn't have deep roots, they died. Other seeds fell among the thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants. Still other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand." So what's that about? That's a kingdom parable. Welcome to Kingdom Parables. He tells stories that some people be like, okay, I think I get that. I may not get it completely, but anyway, what's that? What is this parable talking about? Well, it's talking about a farmer that goes out and, you know, he's got handfuls of seed and he's throwing the seed, right, to plant his field. And Jesus says that some of the seed falls on the footpath where everybody walks, right? And that means, and then the birds came and picked up all the seeds and went and ate them or did something with them, right? And so the footpath where the birds eat the seeds off, that is talking about those people that hear the gospel message, hear the kingdom message, but don't seek to understand it. They don't care about it. It's hogwash to them. "Oh, yeah, I've heard all about your Jesus and everything." No, that's one of these people, okay? That's one of these people. The devil, or in his illustration here, his parable, he calls them birds of the air, snatch them away before that seed, that gospel, that kingdom message seed can germinate in their heart, right? That's what that one means. And then some falls on a rocky path. This is about those that receive the kingdom with great emotion and then fall away. Let me give you a great example of that one. You're going to laugh. Kanye West. You remember a couple of years ago, boy, he was all about, you know, God and everything. A couple of days ago, he was saying that he hates all the Jews and he's a Nazi. He loves Hitler. What are y'all going to say about it and all of that? Man, this is Kanye, okay? This is Kanye. Those that receive the kingdom with great emotion. He went on Twitter. He went on everywhere saying how great he's given his life to Christ, and not a couple of years later, he's making his girlfriend walk naked to the red carpet. He's just lost. But his seed fell on a rocky path. Those that receive the kingdom with great emotion and then fall away at the first sign of problem or persecution. And then still others fell on a thorny path. What is the thorny path? It's those that hear God's word, but it is drowned out by the wants, the wishes, and the ways of this world. And I am sorry, but there are a lot of people that call themselves Christians, but that's as far as it gets. They call themselves Christians. They are way more focused on worldly things and, oh my gosh, man, worldly ways, greed, money, trying to get over on somebody or get back at somebody because they said something mean. I did that the other day. Wanted to get back at them. Made me mad. The thorny path. Stay away from that. And still others fell on fertile soil. And this is y'all. This is y'all. Y'all watching. Still other seeds fell on fertile soil and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. Hey guys, let me ask you a question. Do you know what your punishment is that you got from Adam? You know, when they ate the apple, it wasn't an apple, they ate the fruit of the knowledge of tree of good and evil. Well, women, He cursed them by what? Pain of childbirth and what? You will have a desire to control your husband. And that is a curse, ladies. It is not an invitation. Okay? It's a curse, not an invitation. Some of y'all got that backwards. But guys, first, ladies, did you know that there's a cure for that? A cure for that curse of trying to tell your husband what to do? Love him, respect him, and he'll ask you what you want to do every single time. That's the way you control your husband. You give him all the control. You love him, you support him, and in response to that, he will do whatever you want him to do. That's how Cammie got me. Right? Now, guys, what is your curse? Toil, right? And marriage. No, not really. I'm joking. That was a joke. I love being married. What about the toil? You'll never get out of it what you put into it, right? There's a cure for that. The gospel message is the only thing that people will always get more out of it than you put into it, right? Because that's what Jesus says here. He says, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as what was planted. Guys, as Christians, we're going around and we're doing one of three things. We're either planting seeds, watering seeds, or harvesting, okay? And you may not get to do all three of those things in your life, but if you participate in any of that, you might just answer the phone call one night when somebody needs to talk, and that's planting a seed that might go 30, 60, even 100 times more. The seed that fell on good soil represents those who truly hear and understand God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as had been planted. Matthew 13:23. But why speak in parables, okay? And really, if you're wondering why I didn't do that first, because I'm following Matthew 13. Jesus tells the parable, and then they ask him this. His cowboy, and this is starting in verse 10, his cowboy came up to him and asked Jesus, how come you just tell stories to people? He nodded in understanding and said, you can understand these stories, but some cannot. These stories reveal the true nature of God's green pastures. Cowboys are this is a simplified cowboy version if y'all hadn't figured that out. Cowboys who are willing to listen and try to understand the real meaning behind the stories will be trusted with secrets that others will not be. But those who don't listen, everything will be taken from them. All these cowboy stories, parables, okay? I tell these cowboy stories because they see what I do, but they don't really see anything at all. They're looking, but they don't see. They hear the stories, but they're not even listening. They understand, but they don't savvy it. This is why the great cowboy Isaiah said, you hear, but you don't listen. You see, but don't understand. The hearts of the cowboys have become calloused. Their ears don't hear and their eyes don't see. Therefore, they can't ride with me and let me fix what ails them. But the blindfold has been taken off of you and the plugs taken out of your ears. I'm telling you, many a cowboy wished to see what you've seen and hear what you've heard, but they could not. That's why Jesus told stories, okay? Parables are like inside jokes. Everybody knows what an inside joke is, right? Somebody says something, three people laugh, and everybody else is wondering what they're laughing about, right? For example, friends don't let friends walk in front of self-driving vehicles. Did you see that? Four people laughed. Now you can go ask Nate, Tony, Cammie, or Emily what that's about. I planned that all night. Friends don't let friends walk in front of self-driving cars in San Francisco. But, you know, instead of an inside joke, parables are more like insider code. There's code built in. I mean, anybody that speaks English can read those words. But just because you can read the words and understand each individual word's meaning doesn't mean that you can put it all together and look through it through the lens of the Holy Spirit. Because that's what it takes to decipher the code. The Holy Spirit, you know what you need to solve a code, don't you? A cipher, right? You need a cipher. The Holy Spirit is the cipher. When you read it as a Christian, you're going to understand it. And somebody that doesn't like God or is an atheist, he's going to read it and not get not one thing out of it, even though it's the same words that you both read. You get the cipher to understand the Bible and its parables and other things. You get the cipher by a life, and I want, man, it's a life-changing belief in God. Does that make sense? Because a lot of people, oh yeah, I believe in God. I believe in God. I don't think you got to go to church and all that. That is not a life-changing belief. It's just like, oh yeah, I didn't like, you know, Snickers, but I like the new one with peanut butter in it now. That doesn't change your life any. You know what I mean? It takes a life-changing belief. Now, it can be small, but it still has to be life-changing. It's your faith heart, not your mind. Your mind changes its mind all the time. You get the cipher by a life-changing belief in Jesus Christ. But the cool part is that when you're reading these, and nod your head if you've ever done this. You started reading the Bible, and then you've been reading it for a while, or you've been listening to sermons and stuff like that, and you go back and read something that you know exactly what it says, and you get something else out of it. It happens every time. The more you grow, the more you will know, right? Grow, know. Yeah, that rhymes. You want to know more, grow more. Because when you grow, God will reveal deeper things, okay? But listen, when God reveals deeper things to you, that doesn't mean when you go tell your spouse about the deeper things that they'll understand it because it was a personal message to you. You know, I said in a sermon a few weeks back, when you get those real big revelations from God, keep them to yourself. Keep them to yourself for a while. Try to find out, is this something that I'm supposed to share? And your emotional attachment to it doesn't count, right? Because I've said things like, man, God did this to me. And I mean, like, my heart's fluttering. I've got, you know, goosebumps all over. Eyes are wide, smile up here. And I tell somebody, I'm like, oh, that's good. Good for you, buddy. I'm proud of you. Give me a hug. Want to go get pizza? You know, I mean, like, it means nothing to them. Man, if you get something great from God, cherish it. Hold on to it. Marinate yourself in it and loving for it. See, listen, talking about parables and stuff, we get mad at people that don't follow God. They can't. They can't, not without faith. They're never going to act like a Christian without faith in Christ. I mean, they may cross paths with a Christian doing something the same way. But people cannot understand without faith. And how often do we, that's why atheists don't understand. They can't. It's Jesus is telling you, it's impossible to understand without faith. But before we pat ourselves on the back for, you know, for all of our understanding and, you know, all of that good stuff, how often do we hear but don't listen? How often do we see the way but refuse to go down it? See, we've all got that part of us. See, none of us are ever going to be free of sin. That's not an excuse to do it. Sin should break your heart. But don't let it destroy you, because there's going to come a time and place when God's going to do for you what you couldn't do for yourself, and He's going to remove all sin from your life, and you will be perfected, redeemed, and ransomed. All right. Parable of the wheat and weeds. I actually wrote in my notes, I said, but let's take a look at a couple more and see if we can get a better feel for the way Jesus teaches. But as we will see next, Jesus isn't afraid to tell it like it is without any apologies. Guys, when we go through all these kingdom parables, there's going to be things that you're like, ugh, because Christians are afraid to say them, okay? Christians are afraid to say them because they're afraid that they'll look bad in front of that person, okay? Let's talk about parable of the wheat and weeds. Starting in verse 24. Here's another story Jesus told. The kingdom of heaven is like a farmer who planted good seed in his field, but then that night as the workers slept, his enemy came and planted weeds among the wheat, then slipped away. When the crops began to grow and produce grain, the weeds also grew. The farmer's workers went to him and said, "Sir, the field where you planted that good seed is full of weeds. Where did they come from?" "An enemy has done this," the farmer exclaimed. "Should we pull out the weeds?" they asked. "No, you'll uproot the wheat if you do. Let both of them grow together until the harvest. Then I will tell the harvesters to sort out the weeds, tie them into bundles and burn them, and to put the wheat in the barn." Do you understand that? It's because you have the Holy Spirit. Nobody else would understand that because you have faith. In the kingdom of heaven, did you notice how the weeds and the wheat grew together, right? He didn't do anything while they were growing, right? It was just at the harvest that he did something about it. In the kingdom of heaven, rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. I mean, how often have you thought that? Like, man, I'm over here doing everything I'm supposed to do, and this person over here just like, skating through life, right? Well, the rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. It's at the harvest that things come to a point. The moral of this story, I believe, Kevin's moral of this story is this: God is kind, king, and loving, but by no means is he playing around. There's going to come a time and place, and it'll happen in only one of two ways. People will either die naturally, and that could be a car crash, but you know, I mean, just die like everybody else has, every other person in the world has, or you'll be taken in the rapture, right? And at the time of earthly death, there is no more wait a minute. If those people don't have faith in their heart for God and his greatest love by sending his son down, if they don't have that, then they get plucked up, tied up, and thrown into the fire. Yes, that's exactly how it is. It's not how I want it, but it doesn't matter what I want. God's the one that made the rules. Jesus, the guy that healed the lame and gave sight to the blind and healed the deaf, he just said it. "Man, if there's things in my field that don't need to be there, we're going to pluck them out at harvest time, tie them up, throw them in the fire." So Jesus is the planter on his first trip to earth. But you see what, I'm not really talking about the parable. I'm kind of leading into it. Follow with me here. Jesus was the planter in the story when he first came to earth. He started planting those seeds. He got his disciples, right? He's teaching. He's planting seeds. Jesus is the planter on his first trip to earth, but he will only harvest those whose hearts have borne fruit. Did you see what I said there? That their hearts had borne fruit, not their hands. Because hand fruit doesn't last long. Heart fruit lasts eternity, right? I mean, we can help somebody mow a grass, and that's a good thing. But you go visit them every single day, that's something completely different. That's a heart issue there, a heart fruit. And Jesus is serious about this because do you remember when he walks up to the fig tree that doesn't have any figs on it? What does he do to it? He curses it, and it withers and dies. And they're like, "Oh, why did you do that?" And he said, "It's using up all the same nutrients as these over here, and these over here are making fruit. This one's just living off the goodness and not giving anything back." So he cursed the fig tree. He's serious about our heart producing fruit, right? Not only were his parables lessons for the present, they were prophecies of the future too. See, when Jesus comes back to, I'm not talking about the rapture. I'm talking about the next time Jesus steps foot on earth, he will defeat everybody that is his enemy. And he judges enemies by who has faith in their heart, who doesn't. No matter how good a person, no matter how many kids, how many ball games they took them to, none of that matters. All that matters is faith in Christ. When Jesus comes back, all of his enemies are destroyed and he takes the throne in Jerusalem to rule and reign for 1,000 years until God comes down and sets things right for eternity. But I didn't say it. Jesus did. That parable is out of Matthew 13, 24 through 29. And when you go down to verse 40 of 13, Jesus says this: "Just as the weeds are sorted out and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the world. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will remove from his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. And the angels will throw them into the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in their Father's kingdom. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. Jesus is saying, man, it's a parable, but that's exactly what's going to happen. I'm going to come down here when God tells me to, after I'm married to my bride in heaven. I'm going to come down here and I'm going to wipe the face of the earth off. And for a singular moment, just like it was in the garden, there won't be anybody alive on this earth that doesn't have faith in Jesus Christ. Everybody will. Everybody will. For 1,000 years. Okay, one more. The parable of the mustard seed. Everybody knows the mustard seed one, right?
Yeah.
Love it. Verse 31. Here is another illustration Jesus used. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed planted in a field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but it becomes the largest of garden plants. It grows into a tree, and birds come and make nests in its branches. You wouldn't think that there would be much to pull out of there since it's only two verses and two sentences, right? Wrong. There's a lot in there. Let's look at some things in there. Okay, so I said, you remember the one about the mustard seed, right? Yeah, everybody did, right? Was that the mustard seed deal that you were thinking about? Just one. Just me and her. Me and her. Because most people are thinking mustard seed, it's the if you have faith, the size of a mustard seed, right? That's not what this is talking about. Jesus often uses the same illustrations, the same subjects for different meanings, okay? For different ideas. Faith can be as small as a mustard seed and still be enough, right? That's the other mustard seed illustration. But here, it's used as an illustration of how the kingdom of God may seem small and inconsequential at first, but when it grows, it becomes great and powerful, offering sustenance and protection for all, right? So, let's look at another example. Why does Jesus think birds are so bad? Because in the first one we talked about, the birds represented the devil that comes in and steals the message out, you know, and takes it away before it can germinate in somebody's heart, right? But here it just says, it becomes the largest of garden plants, it grows into a tree, and birds come and make nests in its branches. Does that mean that the birds are bad? Not necessarily, because he's trying to teach us ideas, not algorithms. Oh, twice in the Bible, the birds are bad, so birds are evil. We're going to stay away from birds. That's not what he's talking about, right? He uses these different things to make sure that you're not focusing on the words, but what he's trying to teach, right? Yeah, birds were used in the previous parable to represent stealing away God's kingdom. But this time, Jesus uses them as an illustration of how the kingdom of God benefits everyone, good or evil, right? He did these things to keep outsiders guessing and insiders informed. That's why he told stories like this. He also said that birds make nests in it, right? Birds make nests in it. The kingdom of God is meant for families, not for loners. The kingdom of God is meant for families and generations. Maybe you'll be the first of your family to follow God. Maybe you'll be the first to raise your kids to love Jesus and follow him from childhood. Maybe you're the first of your friends to put down the can and follow the only one that can give you what the bear promised, peace. Maybe you'll be the first someone knows, maybe you'll be the first that someone knows to sell out and live their lives 100% for Jesus. Maybe you're that person. And maybe today's message is for you. Not the person sitting next to you, front of you or behind you. Not just for those sitting here in Kiowa, and not just for those watching on the internet. See, everybody's watching. Everybody's watching you. You are a light in the world. They're watching how you live in the kingdom. And Jesus is looking for citizens in his eternal kingdom. If you're in, live your life in such a way that others will want it as well. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, I thank you for bringing your kingdom down here. And God, we know that you're not ruling and reigning surfacely on this earth right now. Now, nothing happens that goes against you. But there's lots of people that claim to rule and reign. But God, one day you will come back and it will be you. God, prepare our hearts and minds and help us to be citizens of the kingdom now. Even though it's not physically here, it is spiritually here. And we must be citizens of the kingdom. And citizens of a kingdom have to obey the rules and the ways of its rulers. And the ways and its rules of its rulers is love, gentleness, patience, peace, kindness, gentleness, self-control. God, you can give us strength to accomplish all of this because we can't do it without you. But our part in it is just tight. And keep going because you are too. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.